This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Something. I wonder if the rise of social media in recent years is because of a sense of meaninglessness that has come over society. I don't know for sure. But when you think about it, today there are roughly 7.9 billion people alive. 7.9 billion people alive today. And so I can imagine that the average person, when they think of a number like that, might think, who am I? And I wonder if, you know, the rise of social media kind of tries to comfort someone in that sense of feeling hopelessness. You know, they say that the opposite of social media is a social life. I don't know if that's true, but the story is told of a man who was addicted to social media, and he decided that for January resolutions, he would give it up. And so January came, and he gave it up, and he said he was just going to live a normal life. And it's told that he was going down the road, and any single person that he passed, he'd walk up to them, and he'd tell them what he had for breakfast that morning. And he'd tell them what he did yesterday, and he told them that he was going to go hiking, and he showed them pictures of his dog and his family, and he showed them pictures of his hiking equipment that he bought recently online. And he was actually glad. He thought he was doing well. He was telling people how much he liked them, and he already had a following. Within the first day, he had three people following him, two police officers and a psychiatrist. 7.9 billion people. Do you feel like, in light of that number, do you feel like, do I really have any impact on this world around me? Do you feel like my life can create any sort of a difference? Do you feel like maybe as a Christian, does God really know about me? Isn't he kind of busy, you know, controlling the world? Can he really focus on me as an individual? I'd like to read you a story that was read earlier in Luke, and I encourage you to follow along here, if you so wish, to see what the Bible has to say about that. In verse 26 of the first chapter of Luke, the Bible says, "Now, in the sixth month of Mary's cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God." So God, who created the heavens and the earth, who's controlling all the galaxies and universe and every event in this world, decides to send a messenger, an angel. An angel is just a messenger, a mighty messenger from God. The angel's name is Gabriel. And where does God send this angel? Well, the Bible says, to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, if you know a little bit about Bible history, Galilee was the northern part of Israel in the ancient days. And Galilee was kind of the place where the vagabond Jews lived. There was a lot of riffraff in Galilee and had a lot of pockets of little towns and villages. And Nazareth was one of these little villages in this area of Israel. It was a small village, rather insignificant. It was built on a hillside. And God sent the angel to this little village. He didn't send the angel to the mighty city of Rome. He didn't send the angel to the mighty city of Antioch, the metropolis of Antioch, or the intellectual hub of Alexandria. He sent this angel, this messenger, to a little Nazareth. God has a message to send to the world today. And for those of us here this morning. He's not sending this message to Madison. He's not sending this message to Milwaukee. He's not sending this message to Chicago. Sending it to Dodgeville. Or you can even go smaller. You can think of it as if God sent a message to Rui. Little Rui. Or Little Livingston. When I first moved to Wisconsin from Rhode Island, I was in Benton for a couple months until we bought a tiny house in Livingston. 250 square foot house. And I was not used to small town life. You know, Rhode Island is the second most populated state per area and a lot of people. And then you come to Livingston, it's kind of a culture shock. And I was in helping one of my coworkers doing construction, and there was a guy who delivers fuel. He was there filling up the tank, and he looked at me and said, "You're the guy who bought that little house in Livingston, aren't you?" I was like, "How do you know this? How do you even know who I am?" I felt a little bit creeped out, but that's how small town works, right? I learned fast. God sent a message to little Nazareth. Do you feel like sometimes your life, you know, you're just here in Southwest Wisconsin, you know, you're not at all the big activities and hubs of the world? Do you feel like God can use you? Well, he sent a message to Nazareth, and what was the purpose? Verse 27. God sent Gabriel, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So God sent an angel to little old Mary and little old Nazareth. Why? She's just a nobody. She's just a piece of hay in the haystack. I'm not no needle. God sent a message to this woman. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice." You could just picture, I want to picture you as Mary. There, maybe you were, you know, threshing wheat or something, or maybe you were sowing, or maybe you were just getting water from the well, and all of a sudden this angel comes to you and tells you, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Mary, there's a reason for you to be happy right now. You are called a highly favored one. And then he said this, "The Lord is with you, Mary." What do you mean the Lord is with me? I'm just one person among 7.9 billion. Okay, there weren't that many that day, but still. I'm just one little person. What do you mean the God of the universe is with me? The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Think of that phrase. Blessed are you among women. It is as if Gabriel is saying, of all the women that are alive in this day, you are being singled out as being blessed. It's as if a woman in today's day and age is being singled out among the half the 7.9 billion are women. That'd be, got a mathematician here, 3.5 something women, you're being singled out. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I don't understand what's going on here. And considered what manner of greeting this was. What's going on? This is very overwhelming. I'm troubled by these words. Then the angel said to her, I love this. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Just picture it in your mind, okay? We've got this idea that angels are like cute little babies with silk running through their limbs. Okay? The Bible, that's not an angel. An angel is a mighty messenger of God. And people who stood before the presence of angels fell down, fainted at the sight of their glorious appearing. And here comes this angel, Gabriel, who is perhaps a chief among the angels, standing before Mary, and he looks at her and he says, "Don't be afraid." Many of us would probably have already passed out at this point, okay? "Don't be afraid, Mary." Now look at this, verse 30. "For you have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. Mary was just a little nobody in a little town. And the Bible is saying that God looked upon her with favor. Do any of you want in on that? Do any of you want to experience that sort of feeling of favor from God? And then the angel says to Mary, you have found favor. You have been given a purpose. Among all the people in the world, I'm giving you specifically from God a will, a purpose for you to do, for you to live. And he says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be the son of the most highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary, I have a purpose for you, Mary. You're going to bring the Son of God into this world. And Mary, just so overwhelmed by the information, putting all the puzzle pieces, says, how can this be? I don't understand, Gabriel. I'm engaged. I'm not married. And the words of the angel gave her the impression it was going to happen immediately. I don't understand. How is this going to happen? And he looks at her and he says, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And there'll be a miraculous conception. Power will be given to you. Then the angel says, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth. They said she was barren. They were past the age of childbearing. Just like Sarah and Abraham, God has come in. And she is with child. She's in her 6th month, Mary. I want you to know something, Mary. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. If God can make a barren woman with child, God can make a virgin with child. Now, I want to ask you something. As I asked earlier, do you want in on that? The question is for all of us, okay, I'm a nobody. I'm just one among 7.9 billion here in Southwest Wisconsin, and I've got my little duties and tasks that I do, my little schedule that I follow, and I come to this church, and I'm wondering, do I have any place in this world? Do I have any purpose in this world? Can God look on me with favor? And the Bible says, yes. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll see exactly that you can be in the line of favor, just as Mary was. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see this exactly laid out for us. Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter is a list of Marys, people who lived in this world and received a purpose from God, received favor from God, grace from God, and were given a purpose. In Hebrews 11, chapter 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds that were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. Now look here. By faith, Abel. It's that word, faith. That word, faith, is the answer to the favor of God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Enoch walked with God and was beamed up, Scotty. The Lord took him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah was given a purpose, received favor. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, obeyed. See, that word faith is the key to this favor. By faith, Mary received the message from the angel. Now, I want to focus here on verse 6 for a second. This is the key. The Bible says in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What does that mean for you? It means that if you don't have faith in God, you're not pleasing to Him. If you have faith in God, His favor is upon you. That's what the Bible is telling us here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you have faith in God this morning? What does that mean? Okay, I want this favor from God. I want this purpose from God, this will for my life to stand out among the 7.9 billion, to have, to know that there's a reason I'm here. There's a reason for my existence. Okay, the answer is faith. What does that mean? It continues, by faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Must believe that He is. Now this is more than just, okay, I've got facts in my mind. God exists. This is more than that, because it says in the book of James that you have faith, you do well, good. Even the demons believe in God and they shudder. Okay? But I don't think they have favor from God and are pleasing to Him. What does this mean? This is an utter trust in that the fact that God is who He says He is. This is not just a mental assent. This is down deep in your soul that you acknowledge that everything the Scripture says about God is true. And that God's revelation to this world is real. And that God is who He says He is. That God created the heavens and the earth. That God is controlling the world, that God came into this world through Jesus Christ, His Son, lived and died a perfect life, died for our sins. This is a total soul clinging to the reality of God. Now I ask you, do you have faith in God in that way? Is God just a fact that's in your head? Yeah, God exists. I believe it. Or is this a reality that is deep inside your soul and has overtaken you with the fact that God is? And I want my life to conform to that reality. Has that happened to you? But there's a two-sided coin to this faith. Because so often we Christians stay on one side and believing the fact that God is who He says He is, but there's a second coin, side to the coin in verse 6. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's the second side. The first side is you believe that He is, that His Word is true, the reality is true, and it is a part of your soul. And the second side is that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That the fact that you believe God is who He says is, does, you don't stay put there. You're going to do something about it. That reality is going to cause you to move forward in knowing and seeking and understanding this God whom you believe. Now somebody might be thinking, doesn't this kind of sound like works righteousness a little bit? You know, you got to do your thing. But this verse nowhere talks about works. This is a description of faith. What does it mean to diligently seek God, okay? Does that mean I got to go to church? Make sure I read my Bible so many times a day? Does this mean that I gotta, maybe I should go to Israel and look at the empty tomb? Maybe I should find some elegant cathedral where supposedly many people have had experiences. What does it mean to diligently seek after God? Is this like a self effort to go on a physical expedition for God? No. You can seek after God right now where you're sitting. It is a total extension of your soul to God. You believe that He is and you seek Him. You say, God, I'm here. 7.9 billion people, I feel like I'm just a tree in the forest. I'm seeking You. And the Bible says that that pleases Him. And that His favor comes to you, O Mary. And at that point, God gives you a purpose. And all of a sudden, you join this mighty cloud of witnesses of people who by faith did this and by faith did that, because it comes back to faith that pleases God. I believe God wants to use you as He used Mary. I truly believe that God wants to use every individual here this morning as He used Mary. What happened with Mary? Mary brought forth Jesus into this world. And I believe that it is God's intention that by faith you will receive Jesus Christ into your life. If you know Him already, you will receive Him afresh by an indwelling of the Spirit, and you will bring forth Jesus into this world. And that will be your purpose among the 7.9 billion people, to bring Christ into this world. But it has to be by faith. It has to be a total trust of your soul, no doubt, a complete belief that God's Word is true, that when you open this book and you read it, you say, "Yes, Lord." And it is a complete understanding that God is who He says He is, that this world is not here by chance, but it is divinely created by the Word of God Almighty. And you must believe that God has created you individually, knows you individually, and wants to use you individually in this world to bring forth the Son of God. It is all by faith. Are you trusting in Him? Look back here in Luke. There's one more verse. The angel said to Mary, "With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. God can use you in mighty ways. There's no barrier for God if you trust Him." Now look at what Mary says. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.'" Gabriel, I believe it. I accept it. I ask you something. The message has been delivered to you not from a divine angel, but from a word. The message is that God wants to bring forth Jesus through your life into this world and wants to show you favor. And I ask you this morning, do you believe it? Will you accept it for your life? Will you seek after that calling for you? Every single person here this morning has a divine purpose in this world to shine the light of Jesus Christ. But you must submit to Him. You can't do it on your own. It has to be according to Him. That is the message of faith. We call this candle the Bethlehem candle of faith. Bethlehem is kind of like a nothing town as well. "Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light." I want to close here with an illustration of what faith looks like. There's this individual who he was my age. He was born the same year I was. His name is Mr. Wu. He's a Chinese man. And I can't pronounce his last name, so the articles I read about him call him Mr. Wu. And Mr. Wu made a living off of making videos of himself climbing skyscrapers. He would go to these big metropolis cities, and he would take his phone and he would take selfies and video himself climbing these massive structures. No safety equipment. And you can see he made 500 videos of himself walking on a bridge, or on the structure of a bridge underneath, or dangling from a precipice, or at the peak of a skyscraper, holding that antenna that comes up the top and just showing the background of the great drop and just twirling around on the top of this thing. Or another video of him on one of those devices where you stand on it, it's got two wheels, I don't know what they're called, but he leans forward and he comes to the edge and then he backs up, and he leans forward and he comes to the edge and backs up. Just kind of silly stuff, you know, putting his life on the line, literally. But you know, when I watch some of those things, I've always had an interest in parkour. You know, doing mighty stunts in parks and different things and whatnot. But anyway, I was watching, and then there was this one video. He comes to the edge of this one building structure that had kind of an inside corner. And you watch the video, and he puts his hands on the edge, and he goes down and he dangles from his fingertips and he pulls himself up one. And he pulls himself up two. And he goes to pull himself up three, but gets about halfway. And then he takes his feet and he puts his feet on the edge of the side of the building, but the material is metallic, so there's no grip. And his arms give way and he falls down again and he tries again. He pulls himself up and tries to launch himself so that he can kind of wrap his arm around the top, but he doesn't get enough of a launch and he falls back down and he throws his feet up on the edge and tries to get some sort of a grip and he can't get the grip and he's falling and he's pulling and in an instant he lets go. And Mr. Wu falls out of the camera's view. And when you read about it, it said that he fell 62 stories to his death. And I watched that video again and again and again. And it's disturbing, I understand. I thought to myself, what happened? He was an expert at this. What went on? We don't know. But you know, as disturbing as that is, I want to share something with you. Right now, 7.9 billion people are dangling from the edge of a building. We've got ourselves in a mess. It's called sin. And we're all hanging on. And most of the people are trying to pull themselves up. Trying to get grip. Trying to follow this particular religion or follow this philosophy or you know, my school taught me this about the world. And they're trying to pull themselves and it's not working. And there are so many people who are falling. What is faith? Faith is God coming to the edge of that structure and saying, grab hold of my arm. And the person dangling there, all they have to do is let go of their own efforts and grab hold of the extended arm of God. But so many people are saying, no, I will do it myself. To no avail. And anybody who takes hold of that arm and is yanked up upon the roof receives that favor from God and says, I have a purpose for you now. Come follow me. I'm going to use you in this world. But it has to start by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I ask you here this morning, have you grabbed hold of that extended arm? The extended arm of God is the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins. Paid the penalty that we deserved so that anybody who trusts in Him and His finished work will be saved. Have you done that this morning? We're going to enter into the communion part of the service where we once a month remember this death on the cross. And during this time, we're going to have a period of time where we close our eyes and bow our heads. And I ask if anyone here this morning is not 100% sure that they are lifted up on the rooftop of that building by the grace and power of God, I pray that you would hear this morning. I pray that you would hear this morning. But let's bow in prayer in closing of this message. Father God in heaven, I believe that of all the people in the world this morning, you have a message for everyone here. And I pray that each person would put their faith in you and diligently seek after you, and you would give your favor to them and give them a purpose in this world. Give them a reason to live for you. And they would submit to you, Lord. They would not do their own thing. They would submit to you. Please, Father God, by your grace and mercy and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.